And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. I just love this one, Eric. Here's a headline. New York Times columnist rejects polls saying Americans are struggling in the Biden economy. I'm okay. People I know are okay. Who is this person? Paul Krugman.
Oh, he's fine.
He's a millionaire.
You can rest, he's like, everybody.
He's doing fine. New York Times columnist Paul Krugman shrugged off the notion that most Americans are actually struggling in what he declared a good economy under President Biden, despite what they tell pollsters.
Yeah.
He shared a link to his Monday column titled Good Economy, Negative Vibes. The story continues where he began saying, we've had so much winning that we've gotten to, by the way, don't copy Trump. We've had so much winning that we've gotten tired of winning.
Uh-huh.
Or at any rate, blasé about it when it comes to the economic news.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like he just got absolutely blasted. One financial analyst just said Paul Krugman doesn't know any regular Americans, and so he and the rest of the corporate press mock and gaslight you while you're struggling with your rent or mortgage, food, and other living costs. Absolutely zero compassion or connection to reality.
I don't know why you're complaining at all. There's nothing wrong. Your complaining is about nothing. That's what Paul Krugman is telling you.
Another person wrote, Krugman is okay. He locked replies, so you cannot tell him if your fiscal experience is otherwise.
Oh, okay.
That's why he's okay.
Oh.
Because he doesn't hear anybody.
Close your eyes, and the bad guy and all your problems goes away.
Well, I really think, and we had played it on yesterday's show, the MSNBC independent focus group that they put together.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mark Halperin who did it for MSNBC, and he's as far left as you can get. And you and I, we played some of the clips, but we didn't play the entire thing. But we could tell by other answers that the majority on the panel, the independents, lean left.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't lean right. But the passion, and you could tell the passion they had about Biden and the economy. I mean, it turned like a dime. Mm. I personally have never seen such anger. And I think the public has come to realize, you know, if you had an organic recession, that's one thing. But when you have inflation like we have, everything is caused by government policy. What you're feeling right now is caused by government policy. So they will sit there and say, but look, People have jobs. The unemployment rate is low. Well, most people have figured out we don't have the extra workers like we used to have.
Yeah.
Because women aren't coming into the workplace. And the baby boom from post-World War II is over. And so we've got very low unemployment. And people are working. Companies are doing okay. The problem is inflation, and you can't blame that on companies. They tried. It doesn't work. The public doesn't buy it. The public understands, and this is the thing that's scaring the daylights out of Democrats, people have realized that long-term inflation as we have right now is caused by government policy. And the government that was in office that enacted the policies, Joe Biden.
Yep.
And that's why they're desperate to say it's the greed of the companies and they can't sell it to the public. And I think that what I find interesting is the Democrats never thought that there would be a pushback to and this is really incredible that they are so out of it that they don't realize there was going to be a pushback when people are getting killed by inflation. And we've talked about the super core inflation. And we've talked about the Wall Street Journal and their analysis on what the average American, how much the cost of what the average American buys at the grocery store has gone up since pre-COVID, and it's 40%. And I just don't get how when it's obvious that everybody is feeling inflation. I mean, you and I know it.
Yeah.
There are people that can get through inflation easier than others. It doesn't mean you don't know it. It doesn't mean you don't recognize, hey, man, I just bought that thing. I bought that thing 3 years ago, and it was $30 cheaper. Mm-hmm. What's going on? It doesn't mean that you may be able to afford it, but you still recognize it. And that's where the lie is from Krugman.
Well,
because he knows it exists. But the fact that he doesn't realize that by gaslighting, by telling people that what you see, what you feel every single day based on the increase of cost in your life, and you're told that's not real, and will you grow up and start learning and stop being ignorant and understand that everything is great? I think that's part of the anger that you saw the independents. They've been gaslighted so much that they're angry about it.
Well, the elite live with these blinders on. And Krugman, as an economist, does that all the time. Because he's really not an economist as much as an activist. That's what he does. And you can't acknowledge what's going on with people without saying, if you go back, you were wrong. Paul Krugman, just like the current president, is going to be defiant till the very end. Their egos don't allow them to say, yeah, I was wrong. Or I was lying. You can't do that. Reality doesn't change. So you have to reshape it with lies, or at least try. And that's what Krugman does here. I don't even know anyone who's in. Yeah, no, I believe that. I believe you're an elitist to the core. I get it. And the rest of it is lies. But to tell people to imply that the American people aren't feeling that kind of pain is, again, that arrogance that resides on the far left.
Yeah.
And is very much alive still today. How dare you even complain about your situation? The economy is great. What you're feeling isn't real. You're being overly dramatic about inflation and its impact on you and your family. Grow up. Why didn't he just put that at the end? Grow up.
But there is, as we've stated before, across the board on so many issues, they pretend they care, but they really don't care. And that was an, you know, that's obvious. That's what he's communicating, because he was saying, well, yeah, inflation is subsiding. No, it's not.
No. Nope.
Not on what people buy.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
That's, you know, we've looked at all the numbers and we've tried to give you an honest evaluation as to exactly what it is. And one of the reasons is we've seen and felt the prices ourselves. So we look at it and go, we think they've gone up more. And then you see new studies coming out and Wall Street Journal just doing one saying, well, what the average American actually buys has gone up 40% since the end of 2019.
Right.
You know, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at, as we did, the super core numbers, which I'll give CNBC credit. They covered that yesterday.
They broke it down as to what that means and why it's important. And they've been a liberal media organization for a long time. But to do that was important. And, yeah, I was kind of surprised to see it.
But it was great that they did so and explained it, because it answers a lot of questions when we say, all right, is it accurate to give overall inflation? Because there are products that people buy a lot more of that actually affects their budget. And can you get to the point of saying, all right, what does the average person buy the most, and then figure that out and what inflation would be on that over the last few years? And that's what the Wall Street Journal did. And I think it frankly surprised a lot of people that it was so high. Mm-hmm. And then with the super core inflation, which is the stuff you have to have in your life, and how rapidly that is accelerating, for the last 3 months, 8%.
Right.
And that's things like car insurance, homeowners insurance. And this, I swear, this is the first time I've ever seen it, that one of the drivers is in inflation is taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the first thing I said. That's one of the reasons they just can't raise rates and bring it down, because of the irresponsible spending. Congress has to do something about the spending, which they're not going to. And when you talk about, because of the spending, they wish to raise taxes. Taxes was viewed as one of the reasons that the inflation rate over the last 3 months, and that was really the increase in property taxes nationwide,
mm-hmm.
that is causing the inflation and why inflation can't get down to where they want it.
Right. Well, look at what's going on with commercial rent right now, because you have to include commercial rent in that, and in a big way, commercial rent with the property taxes on commercial rent, those tenants, and we've seen it happen, those restaurants and businesses that are in those commercial properties say, our rent skyrocketed for our next contract, and we can't do it. We can't. There's no way to make a profit now.
You, I had talked about this. This goes back that the Taco Brewery place that used to be near me, nice little place, just a great place to go into. Other tacos were killer. Just the barbecue was fantastic. And they closed up shop. They closed in November.
Mm-hmm.
Because their rent on the building, small commercial building, went from $2,000 a month to $8,000 a month.
Yeah.
And they said, we're not even going to try it. We're done.
Right.
We're not going to lose money on this. We've been doing okay, but we're not going to lose it. And I went by there. So almost 5 months later, still empty.
Right. Because the cost for those landlords, it goes up. What do? You got to pass that along. Yeah. Well, when they can't afford it, they leave. Again, there's the break. There's where it starts to come back at you, because it doesn't matter whether you own a property as an individual or rent an apartment. Your costs are going up.
And if your costs are going up, then a new small business can't relocate there. That may be a small business that can't form.
Right.
Because of the commercial rent.
Mm-hmm. And which is going to keep going up.
Right. And that you can't really qualify in any way, because you don't know. If it doesn't exist, you don't know that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And these are, I mean,
when it comes to economic growth, I'm talking.
You talk
about
the jump in insurance costs and everything that basically builds toward that level in the commercial industry and in commercial property and with businesses. Right now, it is that kind of pressure is unbelievable. And so when you go into a restaurant, I had a drive-through yesterday. The burger that I paid nearly $6, just the burger, nearly $6. And it's the size of a kiddie burger. I'm like,
really?
Wow. Yeah, I was really, I thought, well, that's what you get for $6. Value menu, are you kidding me? You know, this is the problem that you have when everything keeps building. We saw wholesale inflation yesterday. Month over month, you saw that wholesale inflation.
Yes.
The rates came down, except for when you look year over year. PPI year over year was 2.1%, and core PPI year over year was 2.8%. And that's what really gives us an indication as to where overall inflation will go. And that core PPI being at 2.8%, up from the previous month of 2.7, tells us that that underlying pressure for in overall inflation is probably going to remain. And I'm confident it will be the rest of the year. We're already through the first quarter.
Yeah, I started seeing analysis yesterday. There will not be a lowering of the Fed rate before the election.
Yeah, I don't see it happening.
And you and I have said that even last month, the month
right,
before.
Right.
We just didn't see when they were saying, remember, we're going to lower it by March. And we're like, what are they basing this on? And then it was
right.
June. I said, still don't know what they're basing it on. Then a couple days ago, got moved back to July. And now you're starting to see, well, we may not see anything this year.
Yeah, right.
God, they feed us so much.
It's garbage.
Bull.
It's garbage.
I really do.
And inflation is going to be consistent throughout this year. I'm confident.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howell's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
By this time in the marketing year, most farmers, approximately 75%, have marketed their crops already, but many are holding on in hopes of a possible uptick in prices. However, it does not look like that's the way it's going. In fact, USDA's new Ag Supply and Demand Report points to a little bit of a price weakness there, looking at wheat, for example. Even though USDA analysts are projecting global year-ending stocks to be the lowest in 9 years, those same analysts have lowered their forecast for U.S. wheat prices by another 5 cents, down to $7.10 a bushel. bushel, almost 20% below last season. Similar story for corn. USDA chopping 5 cents off the price forecast for corn, taking it down to 470, which would be 28% below last year's average price. USDA has shaved 10 cents off its forecast for soybeans, now expected to average 1255 a bushel, about 11.5% below a year ago. Analysts also dropping their forecast for cotton prices only by a penny a pound, down to 76 cents, 10% below a year ago. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So they're trying to figure out, they're saying this is a Freudian slip. Freud Lives is the headline here. Hmm. Former President Donald Trump's name made an unexpected appearance in an O.J. Simpson obituary on Thursday. The Los Angeles Times reported on the death of the former NFL running back earlier in the morning, detailing his prolific sports career as well as his infamous 1994 double murder trial. However, at one point further down in the obituary, the article originally referred to Trump being released from prison instead of Simpson.
Okay. Yeah.
How does that happen?
It was on purpose.
How does that happen? How does that get by an editor? How does that happen?
It was on purpose.
It said, long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of the Lovelock Corrections Center outside of Reno. A free man for the first time in 9 years, the obituary read.
Yeah.
He didn't go far, moving into a 5,000-square-foot home in Vegas with the Bentley in the driveway. The line was later corrected with an editor's note acknowledging the mistake. An earlier version of the obituary incorrectly contained a typographical error.
No,
typographical
it's not.
Error?
No, that's not. No, that's not.
O.J. Simpson.
Hey, how do you spell
Trump?
How do you spell O.J.? T-R-U-M-P. Yeah, right.
About to trigger somebody right now. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you choose if you can't listen live overnight to one of our great radio station affiliates. I know what's happening here. I know why the LA Times put in the Trump instead of OJ.
Yeah?
Because they've looked at it and it you don't succeed anymore in trying to compare Trump to Hitler. Trump as Hitler doesn't work anymore.
No.
You know, Trump is the worst racist ever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work anymore. Trump is David Duke. Doesn't work anymore. Trump is Mussolini. Doesn't work anymore. Trump is Kim Jong-un. Doesn't work anymore. So they're
Trump is Dick Cheney. Doesn't work
anymore. Doesn't work anymore. And so they're trying to... Trump is Liz Cheney. Sorry. I had to continue that. It didn't make any sense, but I found it funny.
Why not?
And so they're like, we've got to find somebody more evil than all these people. Got it. Trump is OJ.
There you go.
That's it. You ever watch hand off the ball to Trump and watch him accelerate through that offensive line? Boy, he had quick acceleration.
Yeah.
I mean, how does
go,
that
go? Trump, go. That doesn't really.
All right. On a story, updating a story that we have been talking about, we had mentioned A couple of weeks ago, it came out that the NHS, which is the National Health Service that controls all the health care in Great Britain, is not going to be funding hormonal treatment for transgenders or any type of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
They're done with it. We first thought, okay, they can't afford the luxury of spending it, but they came out and said, nope, we're finding out that there's nothing there.
Right.
You know, we don't know. We don't know what we're doing. This isn't based on medical science. It's based on politics, and that's what it's based on right now. And we've said that for the longest time. Well, after the Cass report came out the other day, and we had told you about it, the former president of the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health, who led a review, because back in 2020, the NHS in England commissioned an independent review of gender-related medical services for minors and young adults. The final report, released on Wednesday, found that the previous studies on the topic are all poor quality. The reality is we have no good evidence on the long-term outcomes of interventions to manage gender relation distress, she wrote in the introduction. The Cass report notes the lack of available data in addition to poor quality studies. One of the most problematic data gaps for the review has been trying to obtain robust data on the numbers of young children who go onto a hormone pathway at the Gender Identity Service and what care pathways or interventions are available for those who do not. The report states, we couldn't get data on it. This seems unacceptable in the digital age. In response to the report, the NHS sent a letter to the 7 trusts that host adult gender clinics in the UK, informing them they are being investigated.
Hmm.
We'll be launching a review into the operation delivery of the adult GDCs alongside the plan review of the adult gender dysphoria services specification, reads the letter. So they've already stopped funding the children, as we know,
right,
in all this.
Right.
Now they're looking here at adults. And I think you said it the other day. You said, I didn't think Great Britain would be leaning on this, but they are.
Yeah, look, because it comes down to a couple of things that I think there is some thought to the underlying cost of it all. But then also the irreversible damage that can be done, and they have to essentially take blame for that. They have to take responsibility for that. We talked about here in the U.S. where we think it's going to end is in the courts. The court cases will decide how this thing goes here, and that's not going to be long from now. And I think it's interesting that it not really surprising, I guess, if you think about the way that it played out and the fact that they kind of moved on it pretty soon. When you say, look, we're going to cover all this, and then all of a sudden, everybody who's got coverage under NHS and wants that goes through it, and then you go, wait a minute, what did we do? You basically had opened the floodgates without even looking into it. And I'm grateful. I'm sure many people in Great Britain are grateful that it happened that way, because you can't go through something like this. You can't implement something like this without thoroughly vetting it. And that hasn't been done. It's not being done on the left here in the U.S. We talked about the underlying mental health crisis and how that's not being addressed, that the left really doesn't even care to address it. They're not bringing it up except for to say that you can't question anything, because if you do, you'll add to that mental health crisis and you're the problem for bringing up questions and being concerned about it. It's not going to go for long. It just does not have that kind of power to go for long, because overall as a society, we look at it and say, no, we can't have, first of all, we can't change the science. And number two, we certainly shouldn't be allowing this for children. And if adults want to do this, there should be a thorough process as to how it's done and also who's paying for it.
And it started about a month ago. I'm reading this is from March 14th from the editors of National Review. Just 5 years ago, the NHS website asserted that the effects of puberty blockers were considered to be fully reversible. However, whistleblower testimony, a high-profile lawsuit on behalf of a former minor patient who regretted taking the drugs, as well as an independent review led by Hillary Cass, that's the Cass Review, former president of the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health, have rendered such claims indefensible. There has always been a small number of children distressed by their developing sexual characteristics, though when counseled appropriately, not lied to that they can have a sex change, most grow out of the feelings by the end of puberty. The reasons for this distress can be complex and multifaceted. In recent years, the huge and unprecedented surge in teenage girls with no prior history of gender confusion suggests a social contagion as a likely factor. And so this is when the NHS said, okay, we're not going to be doing this anymore. And then I think it was a couple weeks later they said, we're out of the business of children. And then right. France has also come. Great Britain and France is leading it. And this is all, we all knew where this was going to lead, and we said this a long time ago. Because none of this is based on medical science.
Right.
Massive lawsuits, it's what's going to end it in the United States.
Yep.
And dealing with children, especially dealing with children, which, from what I know, 99.9% of the Democrats agree with in the United States in Congress.
According to their vote.
According to their vote. And it, this is really taking a turn, and a quick turn. I did see this in the New York Post that J.K. Rowling shared the recent review that found that the NHS, they don't know what they're doing. They don't they don't know what's going on here at all.
Right.
This isn't about medicine. It's about politics. It's about child abuse is what it's about.
Yes, when you're doing something that's irreversible and you have no idea what the effects are going to be.
Yep. Fans of J.K. were curious if the report would change the author's relationship with the former Harry Potter child stars.
Mm-hmm.
The British author was blunt when questioned whether she could forgive Watson, Emma Watson, or Radcliffe, Daniel Radcliffe, if they apologized for previous criticism of her comments opposing hormone blockers for kids. Just waiting for Dan and Emma to give you a very public apology, safe in the knowledge that you will forgive them, one social media user wrote to Rowling. Not safe. Not safe, I'm afraid, Rowling 58 responded on Wednesday. Rowling went on to blast the celebrities who spoke out against her when she wrote an essay that was deemed transphobic in 2020. Celebs who cozied up to the movement intent on eroding women's hard-won rights and who used their platforms to cheer the transitioning of minors can save their apologies for the traumatized detransitioners and vulnerable women reliant on single-sex spaces, she wrote.
Hmm.
Whoa. Radcliffe affirmed his support for transgender rights and disapproved of Rowling's stance that same year. It's clear that we need to do more to support transgender and non-binary people, not invalidate their identities, he wrote in a report. Watson, who's been a staunch advocate of the LGBTQ and women's rights. By the way, if you're for the transgender movement, you're not for women's rights.
Right.
Good God.
Yeah.
Since she stopped portraying I don't know. I don't know the characters in. I've never seen a Harry Potter film, by the way.
Yeah, I don't watch them.
Well, whatever she was at. Goes trans people who say they are who they say they are. Okay, trans people are who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not, and deserve their lives to live their lives without being constantly questioned or told that they aren't who they say they are. So there you go. So the fellow members also, and they name a couple of other actors in Harry Potter, also share their support for the transgender community after Rowling's controversial essay, which, by the way, is not controversial at all.
No.
The controversy is these insane, radical transgender actors from Harry Potter who are pro-child abuse.
Right. We need to support. And they don't even say why we need to do it.
No.
If they say they are, then they are. Wow. How many things can we apply that to then? And they don't give you a reason. They don't use things like science, biology.
Tell you, though, there can't be an easier argument to win. I know J.K. Rowling has been threatened and everything else. She's not losing this. You can't
lose. No,
she's not. You can't lose this argument.
You can't. You can't. And what's to be done? What happens, you know, in the long run when these lawsuits start hitting here in the States and other places around the world, and the damage is shown over and over again? What would these radical liberals, including these actors here, have to say then?
And let's not forget the Democratic Party, who was in full support of all of this.
Right.
In the United States.
Right.
Full support of this insanity. Think of... You got Democrats now that are pro-terrorist and pro-child abuse.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's where we are. That's the cause of the day. Again, the protest sign is now a dry erase board. We're going to be as radical as we need to be. Whatever the next cause is, we're on board, whatever it is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome, and good morning. Thanks you for being here.
Thank you, thank you. Happy Friday. Oh, Masters Weekend.
Yes, Masters Weekend.
All right.
I mean, it started yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of it, but did watch it. I don't even know who's leading, by the way. But it was... It was cool. It's cool to have in the background.
Right.
You know.
All right.
Just because I think the people at Augusta when high definition TV came out, said we got to make sure that it's even more colorful so it reminds you when Dorothy is opening the house.
Yeah.
The house door. To walk out into Munchkin Land, that
right.
We need to be at the crystal clear colors. Because every time I watch the Masters, I'm like, is this picture better than anything else I watch?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm hungry for a pimento cheese sandwich. So
I did see Wednesday. Yeah. I did see Condi Rice out there.
Oh yeah,
Condoleezza Rice was out talking to the players. Yeah. She was on one of the holes. She was like the member that was standing there. They showed a lot of Condoleezza Rice during that. But
interesting.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.